In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
And it certainly does. Good morning to everybody out there. Thank you guys for listening. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and you're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. It is already, if you can believe it or not, November 16th, the year of our Lord, 2024. Football playoffs. My gosh, so much stuff to go over today. It's going to be a ton of fun. 2 full hours of high school football talk. A little bit of basketball. Got some basketball stuff to let you guys know about. A little bit about volleyball. State playoffs are happening. Maybe even a little bit about Fresno State, what's going on with that football program, that disappointing loss against Air Force last week. Basketball, however, seems to be a lot of excitement in the air with Coach Wahlberg. I know they lost a few days ago, but exciting times are ahead for men's basketball. But high school football playoffs, what an exciting night of football last night. I'm going to get to that in just a second, but thanks to First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. I do my show kind of towards the back, off to the right hand side. When you walk in, the guys are here ready to help anybody and everybody that walks through those doors. Their focus here, one of their big money makers is the Letterman's jackets. And they're all here. I'm surrounded by them. Look to my left. There's Madera. Madera's going to come into play today. Sanger to my right. Edison, Hoover, Central, Sunnyside, Bullard, Kerman, Sierra. Behind me, Clovis North, Parlier, Clovis High. They share the same jacket. So First String Sports, they've been my day one sponsor. This is my fourth year doing the show, and every episode, I think one time we had some technical difficulties. I had to run back to the station across from Bullard High School to do the show, but all the other shows, well over 150 shows right here at First String Sports. I'm very, very thankful to them. You can follow me on the Twitter machine, the X machine, at Paul Meadors, PaulMeadors, or at 1430 ESPN Fresno. It's the information superhighway, so we do the best we can and letting you guys know all the good stuff that's happening up and down the central section. We have a Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. You guys know how cold it is. 48 degrees currently right now, up 2 degrees from 20 minutes ago, a high of 58. Last night, it was cold. It got colder as the night went on, obviously, but I felt like it dropped about 10 degrees in a half an hour's time. We broadcasted the Clovis East and Clovis High game. Phil Benanti did a great job on play-by-play. And he spent a lot of time in Fargo, North Dakota. He brought up something that was interesting. Checked out his weather app. He's like, hey, Paul, did you know right now it was 40 degrees in Fresno? He said, right now, Fargo, North Dakota is only 39 degrees. So we had only bested Fargo, North Dakota by 1 degree. Yeah, it was freezing. It's football weather. It's playoff weather. That's supposed to be how it's played. And I want to, before I get into some scores here and who's coming on the show and recap of last night's game, I want to say what a privilege it is to talk to you guys and to be involved in the activities that go on with high school sports. It's something to see. Last night's game was, it was billed as a really, really good football game, right? Clovis East, Clovis High, Ty Mueller quarterback for Clovis East, Deegan Rose a quarterback for Clovis High. That's kind of the marquee matchup. However, Clovis East, those guys, they are a team on a mission. It's going to take an A to A-plus game to beat them. And Clovis didn't have it last night. Clovis, they were no match for Clovis East last night. Ended up being a 47-13 win for the Timberwolves. They move on to their first Central Section title game in the one Division I AA bracket. since 2008. They haven't won since 2006. And they played like a team that's possessed. They were firing on all cylinders. They didn't punt one time last night. It was a running clock in the fourth quarter. It was 47-7 in the fourth quarter. It was 40-7 at halftime. Clovis High scored on the final play of the game. No need for the extra point. A running clock. It was a dominating performance. Ty Miller passed for four touchdowns, ran for one. Harold Duvall, the Fresno State commit, wide receiver, he's playing like a dude the second half of the football season. Made a couple of highlight reel touchdown catches. Incredible catches. Tyrone Bishop, he turned the game around with a pick six. Tamel Horton, playing like a beast. He's not very big. Listed about 150 pounds, but that dude is running the rock like an animal. Scored the first touchdown of the game. Complete dominating performance by the Timberwolves. These guys are good. Improved to 12-0. They're ranked 14th in the state. There was a pivotal play that I want to explain about that game. So Clovis Hughes was up 20-7. And I don't know, Clovis, you felt like, hey, they get a break here. Deegan Rose, you know, gets hot. You know, they could make a game of it. But it felt like every time Clovis East called either a defensive play or Colby Hunter on the offensive side, they called like perfect plays in the perfect moment. Deegan Rose threw a pick six to Bishop, and it was from a blitz. He was flanked on both sides, and it was a real easy pick six. All right, so it's 27-7. What does Clovis East do on air? I said, hey, they got to go for the jugular. That's what good teams do. They don't let teams hang around. They take the opportunities when they come. And just as I said that, they kick an onside kick and recover it. Then Horton runs for 10 yards, and then one of those highlight reel touchdown catches from Ty Miller to Harold Duvall. And in the end zone, mossed a guy. Leapt up, jumped up, and just grabbed it out of the air. Right then, it was over. It was over right then. Just smooth sailing the rest of the way. And they're going to the championship at home against at La Monica Stadium. And who are they playing against? Well, the Central Grizzlies. Those guys are amazing as well. This is, I think, six out of the last seven Division I championship games Central is going to. We know their dominance in 2017, 18, and 19, the back-to-back-to-back titles, the state title in 2019. But they defeated the defending champs on the road, 27-10. That was Clovis North. Impressive, impressive win for the Grizzlies. Brandon Smith rushed for 110 yards, two touchdowns. So next week, the final is set. It is going to be the number one seeded Clovis East Timberwolves against the number three seeded Central Grizzlies. We will definitely have that game on 1430 ESPN. Phil Bonatti and I, and I'm like 94% sure Coach Pat Hill is going to be joining us as well. Excited about that one. History could be made on next Friday night. And next week at this time, I'm going to be talking about that game. Clovis East, you know, they seem like a team of destiny. Central's going to have to play a really, really good football game. Coach Biggs knows that. He knows how good they are. They played them tough, 38-28 earlier in the year. But they're going to need to play an excellent football game to beat this current Clovis East team. All right, so before I get into some scores, who do we got coming on the show? Well, after I break down a few of these games, Austin Kemp is coming on. He was at that Central and Clovis North game. I think this is Austin's fourth time on the show this year. He does an excellent job breaking down all the games he's at. Was actually my color guy for one game between Clovis and Clovis East when they played the first time. So Austin does a fantastic job. We'll make some predictions about that game, what Central has to do, what Clovis East has to do. Looking forward to that. All right, so top of the hour, I got two coaches coming on, and then a special guest. We got Kerman coach Damon Jenkins. He's going to join us. He's a friend of the show. His Lions defeated Garza 35-34 in a fantastic game. They're going to advance to play number one Porterville in the D3 semifinals after Coach Jenkins, Madera coach Kenny Palinelli from Madera. He'll be on the line talking about his Coyotes. They defeated Napomo. They are also advancing at the bottom of the bracket in D3. They're going to be taking on a really good Kennedy team, the sixth seed. That's going to be an excellent football game next week at Madera. And after that, we got ABC sportscaster Alec Nolan. He's going to come on. He was at a couple games last night. He played solo for ABC 30 and their Friday Night Lights news segment. So always fun to talk to Alec. He does a fantastic job. Maybe some Fresno State stuff as well. What do they got to do to right this ship? All right. Excited about those guests coming on. Let's talk some scores. So we mentioned, obviously, Clovis East Central next Friday. It's not the day after Thanksgiving. Everything's moved up. Only eight teams in the bracket. So in the Division I single-A bracket, it's an all-Bakersfield final. So they're taking care of business down there on 99. Bakersfield defeated Aurora Grande 24-21. That's a game they had to come back in. They were down 21-7. So the number one Drillers come back. They're going to be facing Frontier, who defeated another Bakersfield school, Centennial, 21-14. So number one Bakersfield, number three Frontier, just like the 1AA bracket, the 1-3. So they're going to settle that score down in Bakersfield next Friday as well. All right, so some Division II action. Bakersfield Christian, the top seed, defeated St. Joseph 21-9. Sunnyside on the road defeated Tulare Western, the four seed, 43-8. That is a huge score, 43-8. So Sunnyside is going to travel to Bakersfield Christian at the top of the bracket in Division II. At the bottom of the bracket, Central Valley Christian, Coach Don Arax just keeps plugging along, man. And he's done an impressive job down there in Visalia. They defeated San Luis Obispo 21-14. They'll be facing who? Golden West. Golden West defeated Kingsburg in probably the most controversial ending, 35-34. That was a game that we were following on Twitter and the Max Prep scoreboard last night while we were broadcasting East and Clovis High. All right, so the way it was explained to me, again, back and forth game. It's like Kingsburg took a lead. I think it was 27-11. They came back and tied it. It was 20, what was it? I think 28-11. It was 28-28. Kingsburg takes the lead with about 35 seconds left. Golden West drives down the field. And from, I think, the 12-yard line, runs a swing pass and is tackled at the half-yard line. Golden West does not have any timeouts. And so what's supposed to happen is spot the ball, right? The referee spots the ball and, you know, and then winds the clock. However, people thought the game was over. So the ref stopped the game. Kingsburg was celebrating a bit, stopped the game, and they let about 2 minutes go by while they're discussing what to do. In the meantime, Golden West, you know, they're able to talk about what they could do on the next play. Kingsburg's like, what's going on? How are they giving them, you know, some more time? So they come out, and there's 1 second on the clock. So they're giving them one more play, even though you're supposed to spot the ball, and the referee, once he starts winding, the game's going to be over. How are you going to snap the ball, right, and get ready with 1 second? You can't. You see that happen all the time, right? You're watching college football. They don't have enough time to snap. If they got no timeouts, you know, or can't spike it or anything like that, right? You're not able to do that with 1 second. So they gave them 1 second. As soon as the referee blew his whistle, snapped the football, score, kicked the extra point, Golden West wins. Now, I didn't see a video of it. This is just from hearing from different sources. So I want to see a video on this. But it just, I don't know. That's a tough way to lose a football game. It just doesn't seem right. Right? So you get tackled at the half-yard line, right? Grab the football. Clock operator is supposed to look down. Referee puts the ball down. right? Signals to start the clock. And if you don't get a playoff, you don't get a playoff, the game ends. So stopping, you know, stopping time and talking about it and letting Golden West get a chance to set up. Right? Tough one. Tough one to swallow. Anyway, it's going to be an all Visalia semifinal in that D2 game. So it's going to be Central Valley Christian and Golden West. Again, at the top, Bakersfield Christian and Sunnyside to play for all the marbles the day after Thanksgiving. That is in Division 2. In Division 3, Porterville defeated Menachie 35-0. Kerman, the great win over Justin Garza. Heartbreak City for the Guardians, 35-34. We're going to be hearing from Coach Damon Jenkins at the top of hour number 2. So it's Porterville-Kerman, the 1 and the 5 seed. Kennedy, 56, Rigetti, 32 on the road. Thunderbirds, man. They thundered Rigetti. Those guys are playing at a high level right now, and they're going to be facing Madera, who defeated Napomo 35-21. I think that was 20. I think it was like 21-14 at one point. So Madera just kept, you know, scoring points, and Napomo wasn't able to catch up. So it's going to be Kennedy, Madera, and Porterville Kerman in D3 in their semifinals. We're going to be hearing from Coach Palinelli about their win against Napomo and their future matchup against Kennedy. All right, in Division 4, Shafter defeated North 56-7. And this is an upset. It's a 5-4, right? So sometimes you're like, eh, it's not really an upset. But Emmanuel went to McLean and put an end to their undefeated season. They won 22-21. So the Eagles advance. Coach Andrew Pancotti did a fantastic job. Heartbreak for those Highlanders. They won their first playoff game in 25 years when they beat Wasco 35-17 the week before. But Emmanuel went in, and they played physical. They played a physical football game last night. So they're going to advance. It's going to be Emmanuel at Shafter. Shafter looks like a team of destiny as well. Kalinga defeated Chowchilla 35-7. And how about this? The Roosevelt Rough Riders beat South 33-27. That was a 15 seed, again on the road, defeating a 10 seed South. So it's going to be Kalinga, the 3 seed, and Roosevelt, the 15 seed. So Coach McCoy done an amazing job. Remember in round number 1, they beat Exeter 23-16. And, advancing to the semifinals of Division 4. So Emmanuel Shafter and Kalinga Roosevelt, one of those two teams from each, is going to the finals. In Division 5, you got Bishop Unit defeated Santa Ynez. That's a 1-9, 14-7. Morro Bay all over Tascadero, 42-14. So it's Bishop Unit and Morro Bay. Delano defeated Strathmore, the 3 seed. So the defending champs go down. 38-16 they fall at home. And Selma, what a great story in Selma. The Bears defeat Hoover 43-20. So it's Delano and Selma, 6-7, and Bishop Union, Morro Bay in Division 5. All right, we can't forget Division 6. Minarets defeated Boron 49-14. And Miramonte, great story there. They won one game last year, and they're in the semifinals. They're the 12th seed. They defeated Fireball 27-14. Lindsay defeated Riverdale 24-13. And Corcoran defeated Granite Hills 46-29. So it's Lindsay, Corcoran, a 3-2, just like it's supposed to be. And Minarets, the 1 seed against Miramonte. And let's give our 8-man football some love as well. Mammoth, they are the top seed. They defeated Orcutt Academy 40-0. Fresno Christian, the 2 seed against Layton, 52-8. So it's Mammoth against Fresno Christian. That's going to be a cold game for the Eagles to go check out. All right, that was a long segment. I'm not done yet because I got to give some love to a couple other sports happening. I mentioned volleyball, state playoffs. Here are the teams that are still alive. They're playing tonight. There are 8 schools: Bakersfield Christian, Woodlake, Central Valley Christian, Buchanan, Emmanuel, Fresno Christian, Centennial, and Porterville. So how about this? Bakersfield Christian, CVC, Emmanuel, Fresno Christian, and Porterville. All those teams are alive in football as well. The volleyball teams are playing in-state. And one more thing. High school basketball, guys, starts next week as well at the Save Mart Center. It's the big Heart of California showcase. Clovis West is playing, Clovis North, Buchanan, Bullard, Sunnyside, and Central. Sanger against McLean, Redwood against Fresno Christian, from 10 a.m. all the way to the final game, which is going to be the Clovis North game. They're playing Sacramento at 8:30. It's a great event. Demetrius Porter, that name goes a long way, played Fresno State, Washington Union, great guy. This is the third year, I believe, of this event. I'm going to go check out a few of those games next week. That's really, really cool. All right, that's enough for that opening segment. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Austin Kemp, who was at the Central and Clovis North game last night. Talk about that great final matchup that's scheduled for next week and much, much more. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN on this crisp Saturday morning. Thank you guys for listening wherever you may be. Hey, maybe you're in Fresno, Clovis. Maybe you're checking it out in Kingsburg, Selma, up to Chowchilla. Maybe you're listening later or on your phone. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. It's a lot of fun to talk about high school sports. It's a lot of fun to talk to my guy, Austin Kemp. He watches a lot of track football, obviously baseball as well. He's been a coach at Buchanan, as well as his dad and his brother. One of my go-tos talking about high school football, especially the track. We had a podcast going for a long time. AK, I know you're on baby duty this morning. So is there anything new to report in the last couple of weeks about what your son Bo can do yet? Is he is he trying to throw a football yet? I know he's like what, 5 months old, 4 months old, but what's the latest on that guy?
Yeah, not even that. He's barely 3 months old right now. In our household, we're our biggest focus is trying to roll over, and he throws a lot of fits, but we're always practicing, and that's the next step. So that's what we're that's the biggest focus. That's the game plan right now in the Kemp household, is rolling over.
Yeah, that's a big deal, right? Before you throw a football and try to break a tackle, or take some swings in the cages, you got to be able to roll over.
Exactly. That's the basics, right? So you got to get the basics before we can advance to some more advanced stuff.
I should know better, right? He was born a day before my birthday on August 9th, so I should be able to do the math a little bit better than that. So, yeah, about 3 months.
Exactly.
3 months. Okay. All right. So any good college football stuff going on? What your Ohio State is up, I just saw, 21-7?
Yeah, they're up 21-7 on Northwestern. Kind of a sleepy game, but it's actually being played at Wrigley Field, which is pretty cool. So there's been a cool, some drone shots. The atmosphere looks pretty cool. And I'm kind of, if I didn't have a newborn, that's a game that I wish I was kind of at, just to experience a college football game in a historic baseball stadium.
The Ivy's obviously up, right? Like, can you see the Ivy or the drone shots of that?
It's the Ivy is there, but it's brown.
Yeah.
Because we're in mid-November, so it doesn't
make
pop
sense
as much as it would on a summer day, but it there's still Ivy there.
How's the crowd? Is it a huge crowd?
Pretty big crowd, pretty pro Ohio State crowd, but it's not a huge stadium to begin with, but it's pretty close to a sellout, I'd say. And there's people up on the rooftops overlooking the stadium like there would be for a Cubs game. It looks pretty cool.
That is cool. All right, sounds like a good, really good atmosphere to check out a football game. All right, so you were at the Central and Clovis North football game last night. Those Grizzlies, they did it again. We're not surprised. They defeated the defending champs 27-10, advancing to the title game against Clovis East. Now, either it's 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8 of the last years that they are in the finals. But how'd Central do it? How'd they look? It seemed like they took a lead and just never relinquished it.
Yeah, the first quarter they started pretty slow. Central couldn't really get the run game going. They were maybe giving up a little bit of stuff on defense. And, after that first quarter, they took control and then just remained in control the entire game. And we talked about Coach Biggs, how I think you just mentioned it. He's been in the D1 finals now 7 out of 8 years. It's kind of just the expectation for Central now is, once we get into November, once we get into playoff time, they're going to be one of the last team standing. And you know, from where Central started in August to where they are now, they had a lot of young guys playing early on, and a lot of those young guys are now comfortable. They're experienced, and they're just a lot of fun to watch. They were the more physical team, I thought, last night. Jelani Dipple, their sophomore quarterback, he made throws that he needed to. He didn't miss many. And you know, once they got the run game going a little bit towards halftime and in the second half, it opened up things for Dipple in the passing game. And it was almost like once we got into the second half, Central was kind of doing whatever they wanted. They were running the ball behind Brandon Smith. Dipple kept some zone reads, and he was making throws across the middle of the field, and you know, everything seemed to click. And you know, on defense, we haven't seen a lot of teams rise up and match Clovis North's physicality the last couple of years in the run game. And you know, outside of one McKay Madsen, I don't know, it was like a 35, 40 yard run for a touchdown, they didn't give up much to Clovis North in the run game either. So you know, I think it was a big part of their young guys finally being confident and knowing their assignments, and Coach Biggs being, you know, probably the best in the section, getting his team there one more time.
You mentioned Dipple and his progression, and you know, I could go back to August as well. I was able to check out the 7-on-7 camp that they have, or the tournament, whatever you want to call it, at Fresno State. It's a big deal. You got teams from SoCal, NorCal, and a lot of the big schools in the Central section playing that. And right, you're checking out, you know, Ty Miller and, you know, Deegan Rose, and you're seeing some of these guys, and then you just kind of wonder about Central. You knew that they had some dudes coming back, you know, pretty talented receiving corps. Brandon Smith, seems like he's been there forever. He's only a junior still. Mm-hmm. And the question mark about Central is going to be their quarterback. And even talking to Biggs, it's like, yeah, you know, and you know how Biggs is, how hard he is on mm-hmm. his quarterbacks, especially. He has really high expectations, and he's definitely not going to pump up somebody too early. But he's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm throwing a lot of stuff at this guy. He's not really catching on. And then, you know, I saw him out there, and I'm like, he's kind of small, and he didn't throw a really pretty football, and he missed a lot of targets. And then the highlights that I saw last night and the games that I watched him in, he looks pretty darn good, man. And
yeah.
It's probably a progression of a lot of things, but it seems like confidence would be one of the top things, right? You got a sophomore thrown into a high-level program, and here he is playing in the championship game.
Yeah, and you know, like you mentioned, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's not your like prototypical pocket passer. So like in 7-on-7, I mean, he can throw the ball, but that's probably not his greatest strength, because you know, he can run pretty well. And there was a lot of instances last night from the top of my head, I remember like, I don't know, three or four key third downs or like a second and long where you know, they called a pass and no one was open, and he just took off and ran for 20, 30 yards a couple of times. So that element with his legs definitely kind of helps him out, getting him out of bad situations. But, you know, you go back to August, you go back to September, and I felt like, you know, he was good and he was progressing, like you said, but I felt like he was leaving a lot of meat on the bone from game to game. So, like, he would play well, but there was always a but. You know, if he would have hit this throw, and if he would have hit that throw, maybe Central wins by 25 instead of 15 or something like that. And I felt like he started to turn the corner a little bit when we saw them play Clovis a few weeks ago, which was late in the year. And then, you know, ever since that Clovis game, he's been getting better and better. And I felt like, you know, I've been waiting for Central to play their best game of the season this whole year. I thought against Clovis it was pretty close, and I felt like last night it was – I know it wasn't perfect, but they're getting closer and closer to playing their best game, and what a time to be doing it the week before the section title.
So I brought up the stats from Max Preps right now. So in 12 games, Dipple's – I mean, look at this. This is 2,853 yards and 36-8. Touchdown interception ratio, right? I mean, that's 57% completion ratio, which you'd like that to be a little bit higher. You want 60% or above, but gosh, that's very impressive.
No, it's super impressive, and it's almost becoming like, if you look at the touchdown interception ratio, 36-8, I feel like that's probably what, the quietest TD to interception ratio in the section. I feel like that's something we don't even really talk about with him. And that's kind of just become the custom stat line for central quarterbacks under bigs. You go back to, I know Trent Tompkins was special, and he was a bit higher in the touchdown category, but they had, what was it, Jamison Silva who did the same stuff.
Well,
they had,
a lot of people don't remember that it was actually Silva who won the state title in 19. Trent got him over the hump with winning that title, but it was Silva who won the state.
Yeah, and then they had Tafoya come in, and then now they're doing it with Dipple, and I feel like every single quarterback, if you play at Central under Coach Biggs, you're going to have, I don't know, on paper, you're going to have a great year. And like you said, the completion percentage, you might want to be a little bit higher. But you kind of give and take, because I don't have his rushing numbers in front of me, but I'd have to think he's had a pretty good year rushing too, from what I've seen from a yard standpoint and a touchdown standpoint.
He's done okay. You know, remember sacks, right, count against rushing yards in high school. So, I mean, a modest 294 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns. But, I mean, if he's doing those chunk plays like you mentioned, you know, those 30-yarders, those 25-yarders, even, 7 or 8 yards, I mean, those definitely add up.
Yeah, and to kind of pivot to another player on Central, one thing that I definitely wanted to bring up, that it kind of caught my eye last night, and we touched on Brandon Smith a little bit, of how key of a piece he is for Central at running back, and plays outside linebacker. He's on the field a bunch of snaps every game, but it was 13-3 Central, and Madsen ripped off like a 40-yard touchdown run, and there was a couple Central defenders kind of hanging out in the back, like kind of on their knees after the play, kind of shaking their head. And I don't know, this is maybe so small, maybe I'm overthinking this, but I saw Brandon Smith run over to each one of those guys after the play. He helped them up. He was clapping. He was encouraging them. And it felt like to me, he was like, guys, we're going to be fine. Keep your head here. Get the next play. And it felt like he was kind of like a calming voice for that defense after that play. And they played great after that. And maybe that had no impact, but to me, that's something like, that's such a huge leadership thing that I saw. And I think that kind of stuff is important in a football game.
No, 100%, right? That's what you want to see. Those are the things that, guys like you that have an eye of the game, you notice it. And those are big things, right? You want your guys to pick each other up and not get down and not yell at each other. So Smith almost has 1,500 yards on the season, 19 rushing touchdowns. I want to mention just this really quick. Dipple, sophomore, Smith, junior. The three other guys that have got carries this year, sophomore, another sophomore. The receivers, junior. Daylon Scott's the only senior that I can see here that gets significant stats. And he's got 13 touchdowns on the year. So this team is going to be around next year as well and years to come. They're playing in the championship game. Want to ask you, Austin, Clovis North just felt a little off this year, right? We mentioned their two losses in non-league. We talk about that. And then that great game, against Clovis East, the Clovis East one, obviously. So I don't know. I mean, what was your assessment? What do you think the future of Clovis North is? Because Sinfell and Madsen, they're seniors. They're not going to be around next year.
Yeah. Like you said, there's something that felt a little off with Clovis North the whole year, and it can be attributed to a few things. I feel like, there was only one place to come but down when you talk about last year's team compared to this year. I mean, last year's team, I felt like, was an all-time team. They started, 14-0. They turned the ball over. I thought going into the Valley title game last year, they had turned it over one time.
Yeah.
They had a ton of great seniors on the offensive line. They had a really good senior quarterback. And even though they had, like, that two-headed monster at running back coming back and a few defenders, it's so tough to replace almost your entire offensive line and get them playing at a high level. So I think the offensive line definitely losing. I think they lost 4 starters off of last year's O-line. So that was a factor for them, that they just weren't as dominant this year. And then, the other side of it was, I think what Mario Cosma, their quarterback last year, that guy was darn good. And I don't think we probably gave him enough credit at the time. He made throws when he needed to make throws last year. He moved the chains when it was like a third and medium or a third and long even. And this year they just did not have a passing game that could, I felt like, maybe make defenses respect it. So I think defenses could load the box a little bit more this year. They didn't fear the passing game. And even though they brought in a guy like Tyree Sams from Edison to play receiver, you know, he just wasn't a super, super big, he just didn't get super involved in the offense for whatever reason. So I think it was their passing game or their lack of passing game that was probably their ultimate downfall this year. I just don't think it was a big enough threat. But, you know, I Clovis North, they always have good freshmen and they always have good JV teams. You're not going to be able to do it with Madsen anymore, which has been one of the biggest workhorses in the section. But I'm sure they'll find a way. Coach Jacob will get those guys tough in the off season, and you know their weightlifting program always top tier. So it'll be definitely a rebuild of some sort, but I think we'll probably see the same type of Clovis North team that's going to be physical and try to run the ball again next year.
We're talking with Austin Kemp about high school football, especially the track, and let's go ahead and dive a little bit into the championship game next week. So Clovis East, it's set against Central. What are some of your early thoughts? How some of the keys to the game? All right, it just, you know, having watched Clovis East plenty of times this year, including last night, and obviously, you know, we watched their game against you know, that matchup when they played in the track. But you know, when you play a team twice, adjustments are going to be made. Players are going to be, you know, we're going to be in the right spots at the right time, hopefully. So what are some of your early thoughts about the championship game?
Yeah, so going into this one, I think when you look at all the teams in the section, I think Central is probably the toughest matchup for Clovis East of anyone. And, you know, when you look at Clovis East's schedule this year, they played two teams where the final was a single-digit result, right? So their first game of the season on the road in Utah, that was a 3-point game. And then Central, that was an 8-point game on October 10th. So Central's been the only team in this section to keep it single digits. And we were at that game, and, you know, Central was a 4th-and-2 conversion away from maybe sending that thing to overtime. And, you know, part of that reason is, because I just think super highly of this Central defensive line and, you know, kind of their defensive front in general. When you include their linebackers, they're super physical. The defensive line can get pressure without really having the blitz, and they have the athleticism in the secondary to, you know, you're not going to bottle up Clovis East the whole game, but you can maybe take a few more chances, leaving guys on an island. And, you know, you're not going to do it the whole game, like I said, but again, you can just take a few more chances with your defensive line trying to get after it and your athletic guys covering Duvall and Matthew. So I just think defensively Central can maybe limit Clovis East better than other track schools can. And then, you know, on the right night, if Dipple can play like he did last night and they get the run game going, that's kind of probably the recipe that you need to take down East. It's going to be tough, but that's probably the recipe.
About Central's offensive line, like compared to Clovis East, right? Like, is that a fair way to compare those two? I know Central likes to do the big splits, but you know, you've watched Central a few times this year. I mean, how can you even compare those two offensive lines? Because, man, it's going to be cold, right? It's going to be cold. Yep. It's going to be a great atmosphere. But, man, when offensive lines are clicking, that's a recipe for success.
No, 100%. You know, the offensive lines have to be on the same page. And I think Clovis East, we saw them like kind of pound the ball against Clovis North a few weeks ago. So that answered my questions on if they could run in a big game. We've always seen Central be able to run the ball, but you know, I think a lot of this is going to come down to once the ball is kicked off, it's kind of going to be who's going to adjust better. Is it going to be Coach Biggs or is it going to be Coach Nagel at Clovis East? Because I'm sure both defensive fronts are going to do a little bit to maybe throw the other team off, maybe show a look that they haven't seen before. So I don't know. I think it's going to come down to the game plan and then who makes the right adjustments, because those adjustments are a huge key, I feel like, to offensive line success. And, you know, early in the game yesterday, like I mentioned, Central couldn't run the ball in the first quarter. They couldn't run the ball at all. And I was looking around saying, you know what, this might be a long day for Central. And then they started to find a little bit of success in the second quarter. And then the second half, man, they ran it whenever they wanted to. So I think it's just going to be a game of adjustments. And whatever coaching staff makes, you know, the better adjustments is going to set their offensive line up for the most success.
All right, so let's try. I know next week's the championship game, but this, you know, you've made some comparisons to Clovis East, and you and I have talked about this, to some of the really prolific type offenses in the past, right? Is there a team that this Clovis East team kind of remind you of? You know, some of the, I mean, if they go 13-0 and win a Central Section championship, their first since 2006. Right, you talk about last year's great Clovis North team that went 13-0. Then you kind of have to go back to maybe even some of the really good Liberty teams. You know, with Jordan Love from Bakersfield and those back-to-back-to-back titles from Central. I mean, does this team just kind of remind you of one of those teams, or even one of the teams, you know, you graduate from Buchanan in 2011? Some of those really good football teams that you were able to grow up with or watch yourself.
For sure. I think this team has to be in consideration of one of the best ever from this section. And in my mind, I think offensively, this is probably the most explosive offense I've maybe ever seen. Now, I think you would have a discussion with those Tompkins Central teams, or even the Silva-led Central team when they won state. Like, that, they're probably in that same tier. But I don't know. You talk about the Central teams. You talk about Clovis East this year. You know, Love with Liberty in, I think, 2015 or 16, and then going back, and I don't know. I think this Clovis East team, with how explosive they are in offense, and it's not just the players, it's the scheme. And they put you in positions to have to defend something, and then once they see how you line up, they kind of attack kind of what, like, the opposite of what you decided to defend. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball, and I think that's just so rare at this level. Usually, when you're watching teams in our area who are dominant, I feel like they're so good on, like, at one thing. Like Clovis North, yes, they could throw the ball last year, but their running game was so dominant. And you kind of look at these past teams, but it's like, you know, Clovis East, they can chuck the ball. Ty Miller can make every throw on a football field. But, oh, by the way, if you decide to play two high safeties,
they're going to gash you in the middle.
Yeah, it's been so impressive.
Yeah, and, you know, Lindsey Graves went down. He was their starting running back. He's having a fine season, a breakout season. He's a junior. So he goes down, so they, you know, just insert Horton, Tim Horton, mm-hmm. and he's doing those chunk plays. He's getting, you know, 12 yards, 20 yards, you know, 35 yards here, and it's pick your poison and, you know, kind of – seeing it, you know, I, you know, when I wrote for the newspaper, I'd be down on the field watching a lot of games, right? That's kind of how you do it, and you take your stats and you kind of get a feel for the game down there. It's a different perspective when you're doing it from the booth, right? You could see things more clear. I mean, obviously, right? It's like you're watching it, you know, on a TV screen, and you're like, hey, the middle's wide open. Oh man, look at those safeties. Now they're creeping back. Hey, they're showing blitz. Are they going to come back? You know, back into their regular linebacker spot. So you could see all those things just kind of develop, and it's almost like the offensive coordinators are calling. You know, they're figuring it out, right? They're like, oh my gosh, look, that middle is wide open. Here you go, and you could just see it unfold right in front of you. Like, there he goes. There's 12 yards. That's easy. Oh look, there's a two. You know, there's a 3-on-2. You know, choice routes up there in the top. Oh yeah, there you go. You threw to this inside slant guy, and it worked for 35 yards. Right? It just seems like Clovis East offense is just playing at such a high level that those plays just kind of unfold in front of your eyes.
No, 100%. And sometimes they can do it. Like, we've seen them do it, like, methodically down the field in 9-10 play drives, and we've seen them score in 1 or 2 play drives. Like, they can beat you in a variety of ways. And you talk about all-time teams, and I feel like we've kind of been a little bit hard through the last couple of years, and maybe some of this season on Clovis East defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, like when you look at their schedule, you know, they haven't given up more than 21 points since mid-October. And so, like, when you pair that prolific offense with a defense who all of a sudden is holding teams to 21 points or less over the last month of the season, it's almost like an impossible feat to take them down because, I mean, not only do you have to work, when you're the opposing team, you have to go in, like we talked about last week, you have to go in thinking, you know, we have to score in the 30s or 40s to win this game. And for as much as I think Central defense can limit East, I think the recipe is still like there. I think Central has to expect we have to get to 31, maybe 35 points to win this game and then get a couple of stops in key situations.
Great stuff as always, AK. Thanks for taking time as your Ohio State. Oh, okay. They scored. Look at that. You're on the line talking about high school football, and Ohio State scores another touchdown. So look at that. Good karma's coming your way.
Yeah, it's a good omen, I must be talking to you. One thing I do want to say before we get off, you know, I think there were some small crowds last night at the football games, at least the Clovis North game I was at. It was super small. So I hope if you're listening, get out to a Valley title game this week and support the local sports. I think it's good for the community, and it's good to play in front of a packed crowd.
It absolutely is. So remember, next week are the championship games, and then the following week are divisions 2 through 6 and eight man football is next week as well. So no excuse. You could go to check out two games. No more having to make a choice of when you want to check out. So AK, thanks again as always. Have a good weekend, my friend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're gonna take a break here. And we're going to be talking more football. We got Damon Jenkins coming on just after hour number 2. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number 2 of the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you. All a lot of fun to talk about high school sports, high school football. Playoffs are here, and we got one of the best coaches in the Central section. Damon Jenkins as Kerman Lions defeated Garza last night, 35-34 to advance in the D3 bracket. They're going to be facing the number one team, Porterville, on the road. That's nothing new for these guys. They improved to 10-0 on the season. Coach, how are you feeling this morning? I bet you're floating pretty high after that nice win last night.
Yeah, we actually just finished watching film with the kids. So, I mean, we're in a good space.
All right, so you finished watching some film. We were following on the scoreboards and on Twitter last night, and this just seemed like a back and forth game, man. Nobody could pull away from each other. It's just just one of those classic matchups that comes down to fourth quarter play. So just kind of walk us through the game. How did the game unfold, and how'd you guys eventually end up with the win?
I mean, it was a tough, hard fought game. I told my kids going into the game it was going to be a four quarter game. You know, I've had the privilege of working with Ferris and Coach P, the offensive coordinator over there. So I know their mindset to a certain extent. And so I knew their guys were going to be ready. I knew they were going to come out there with a playoff mindset, regardless of any things they've been dealing with, you know, at the beginning of the season and throughout the season. So, I mean, I knew one day it was going to be a tough game. So, I mean, it was, like you said, it was back and forth. Literally, we made two big stops in the fourth quarter that helped us keep that game in control. We were driving, and we ended up fumbling. Garza got the ball back, and then we ended up getting, I believe on that one is when we went 3-and-out. They punted it to us, and then we ended up giving the ball back to them, then we made a fourth down stand, and then that was all she wrote at that point, so.
I'm looking at the at least the score tracker here on the quarter. So you guys went up 14-0. Garza answers with 13 points in the second quarter. So you guys are leading 14-13. Then how about the wild third quarter? Garza scores 21. You guys score 14. So 35 points total in the quarter. And then you guys score the lone touchdown for the 35-34 point win. I mean, what was it? Just kind of a tale of quarters? Like, just kind of like taking haymakers from each other? Is that basically how it went?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, their quarterback played tremendous last night. Their running back, you know, he played a good job, or played a good game last night. I mean, Coach Pease has had us on our heels the whole entire night, so we have to adjust, make our adjustments on the defensive side of the ball. And that's really what it came down to, a tell of adjustments, and came down to who wanted it more from our kids. And so, I mean, it was a hard-fought game.
So who stood out for you guys? Who are some dudes you want to give shout-outs for playing a really good game last night?
Ah, man. I mean, I'm going to start off with Adrian Torres. You know, he played a heck of a game. Our running back, Julian Velez, stepped up big. The last three games, he's rushed for over 100 yards. Our O-line stepped up. I challenged our O-line this week to come out and be physical and just play assignment football. You know, our middle linebacker made a few plays last night. He actually made – him and my D-lineman, Christian Villa, made the big play at the end of the game. But, yeah, I mean, our offense, my offensive staff, you know, they held it down for us last night. Coach McCoy called a great game on the offensive side of the ball. So, yeah, so, I mean, you know, our offense came out yesterday, and they were hitting all cylinders.
And that wasn't the first time you played in that stadium this year, was it?
No, it was not. I mean, it was a nail-biter last game, too. So, I mean, last game, you know, guards are 1-2, and then this game 1-1. So.
Yeah, so that was a 33-31 game that, yeah, it was a really good football game earlier in the season. I think maybe week 3 or week 4.
Yeah, week 3.
Week 3. So did that game, obviously, you know, you could say you could take a lot more from a loss than from a win. So did that game in week 3 against them, in what ways did that maybe prepare you guys for that? Or maybe it didn't even prepare. So, is that kind of the case going into the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a tale of experience. We played them week 3. You know, if you go back, for us, we went back and looked at that game. You know, we gave up a few things. If you take away a kickoff return that they got, that changes the game for us as well. So, I mean, we went back and we watched that film this week. We watched the end zone copy of it, and we saw where we were wrong at on the defense side of the ball, the adjustments that we needed to make. And that was huge for us coming into this week. It's making adjustments on the fly and being gap sound. When we played them the first time, we were not gap sound. We had a lot of guys just, you know, out of position. So watching that film last time helped us out a lot this time.
Would you guys would you and your staff tell your squad after last night's game, like, hey, job's not done, not finished, or what was the message to the team?
I mean, 1-0. You know, that's what we preach every week. I mean, that's something that I learned from Coach Hill and Coach Baxter, is to go 1-0, and that's all that matters in that moment. You know, I told them we'll celebrate last night's win, and then tomorrow's on to Porterville. We know the kind of opponent that we have in front of us. And this journey is not easy, especially in playoff football.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, everybody's game elevates, and you literally start fresh in the postseason. You know, everybody's 0-0, and, you know, we got to go out there and play. So. But I think last night was just a huge team win for us. Just we didn't flinch. Neither team flinched. You know, when we got down, our kids on our sideline were still encouraging each other. You know, when the defense came off, if we didn't get a stop, you know, they talked and said, hey, we got you. So that last night, like I said, was just a big team win for us.
All right, so you mentioned Porterville. You're taking on the top seed. They are 9-2 this season. Their only losses were to back-to-back weeks to Redwood, 44-34, and to Golden West, who plays in D2. They are also in the semifinals. What's the early tape say about Porterville, man? What do those dudes got?
Well, you know, I've actually been following Porterville since last year. I actually thought that they were going to beat Mission Prep. So I was actually prepping to go to Porterville last year after we played Kennedy. And so, you know, I thought for sure Porterville was going to pull it off. So I've been kind of paying attention to them for the last 2 years. I mean, they have a good program. I mean, you know, for them to start where they were last year and to finish where they are this year shows that they're continually moving in the right direction. I haven't watched a ton of film in them yet. I'll actually start doing that later in this afternoon. But, I mean, just from the little clips that I have seen them, they're doing a good job. They got, you know, some good boys, big boys over there in the O-line, and they got some good skill players. So it's going to be a very, another tough game for us.
Yeah, Max Preps actually has a few highlights too. So I was just checking them out right now, and I'm like, oh yeah, they got some dudes, man. It looks like it's going to be a battle. Looks like the atmosphere is going to be really, really awesome as well. A couple more questions here for you, Coach. Again, thanks for taking the time. I know you're anxious to get at it. You got some film to watch and some things to check off the boxes with your coaching staff. But last year's title run, right? And you and I had a bunch of conversations. It was a magical run. You guys just kept making plays after plays. Eventually fell in that championship game, but you guys avenged Mission Oak. So that was really cool to see last week for you guys. But now that you guys have been there, a lot of your guys know what it takes to win football games, especially in the playoffs, and make plays. Like, how did last year's run kind of help this year's team? Because everything was probably new last year, but it's not new this year.
Just really the mindset of telling our kids, or having that goal. Like, our goal at the beginning of the season was to win league, which we end up tying and winning league this year. Our goal is to make it to the Valley Championship, which, you know, we're one game away from that. And so all year we've had these goals in mind, and we've been keeping chopping away at those goals. I told our kids we have to know that we belong in certain places. I think before I got here, I think sometimes they didn't believe that they were good enough to be somewhere. I have good kids here. That's the beauty of coaching in tournaments. I have good kids, which makes building a program so easy, right? And so now these kids are starting to build the confidence within themselves and understanding that, hey, like, we belong here, especially if they're putting in the work. Right, day in and day out, guys not missing practice, guys showing up whether they're hurt or not, and just, you know, giving 110%. And so that's the biggest thing for us. And also too, my seniors now got here or were here when I first started. So like Julian Velez, Jaden Cardenas, Nick Graywall, those are my three tip of the spear guys. Christian Villa. So they have been able to experience my first year, last year, and then now it's like it's their time. So they've been able to experience that playoff run, the ups and downs, and kind of, you know, got their feet settled.
No, and it's paying dividends. Is that, a couple more questions here. I'm curious about, like, the celebrations after games. Sometimes you could tell how experienced the team is, you know, by their celebrations. If it's a huge win, if it's an exciting ending, of course teams are going to celebrate. But, like, sometimes you got to celebrate like you've been there before. Like, yeah, we expected to win this football game. We believe in ourselves. What's like, do you talk about that with your team, or is it, you know, is that even a thing that you guys discuss, or is it just a natural progression?
No, those are games. We talk about that. There's games where we're supposed to win that game.
Yeah.
Right. And so like even last night, our kids celebrated after the game. And it was one of those celebrations of, okay, we got them. And, like, we got them back when we lost to them. And I'm okay with those kind of celebrations, right? Because they knew it was going to be a haul for our game. We talked about it all week, that it was going to be a four-quarter game. And then for us to pull it out with the one-point win, I'm okay with that celebration, right? But as long as we're celebrating with each other, and as long as we're not taunting the other team or the other team's crowd, because we've experienced that. Well, you know, where people are taunting our fans and talking trash to our fans. And so I told my kids, like, hey, if you're going to celebrate, we celebrate with ourselves, right? You celebrate amongst each other. But you don't need to go rub it in somebody's face or talk trash to somebody. Be above reproach, right? And other things that I talk to my kids about.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I love it. I love it. And, when Barry Sanders would score a touchdown, you know, just hand it to the refs. Celebrate like you've been there before. And he's been there a bunch of times in his career. So, yeah, that's a great answer. Talking with Damon Jenkins, and I got one more question for you, my friend. You were recently inducted into the De La Salle Hall of Fame, man. You are, you know, a part of the legacy of that school. You've brought that mentality to when you played, you know, at Fresno State and wherever you've coached. So how cool of an experience was that? And just kind of walk us through some of the great moments. I think that was, what, maybe 3 weeks ago that you were able to participate in.
Yeah, it was. I've actually got lucky because we ended up playing Sierra Pacific that same night. So I drove down to the Bay Area that morning. I got to see some of my old teammates, got to see my old basketball coach. And it was just a good experience. I'm lucky and I'm blessed to be inducted into that, to De La Salle Hall of Fame. I mean, my name is forever cemented there, and that's big. because it just started, I think, maybe 15 years ago. So it hasn't been around for a long time. But the fact that I was able to be inducted into that is very special to me. And it's something that I earned. But, you know, it's a very surreal feeling. But I never thought I would, because there's been so many great players to go through De La Salle. And I never looked at myself and been like, oh, yeah, I was the greatest to ever come out of there. Right? I've always been kind of that role player, and I just did my job. But for them to recognize me as somebody who earned the right to be in there, that means a lot to me.
You got your Letterman's jacket still? Did you get a Letterman's jacket back then?
No. So back then, I mean, I was not financially in a great spot to get a Letterman's jacket. So I had to choose between either getting a national championship ring or getting a Letterman's jacket.
Okay.
So I chose to buy the national championship ring over the Letterman's jacket. So.
Oh, that's cool. Where do you keep it? Is it displayed?
They're in my room. Yeah, they're in my room hiding. So.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully you're gonna get a ring as the head coach of Kerman High School. You guys are playing Porterville with the right to play in the D3 championship game. So, Coach, always great catching up with you, and good luck the rest of the way, man. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
You bet. All right, good stuff from Coach Jenkins. He's a good guy. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to bring in, how about this? Kenny Palinelli, head coach of Madera. They're at the bottom bracket, still alive in D3. They're going to be taking on Kennedy at home next week. We'll take a break, and we'll talk to Coach KP coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. Having good conversations today. Always fun talking about high school football. Heck, just a little more than 12 hours after a lot of the games ended. So I had a great conversation with Damon Jenkins from Kerman. His Lions are going to be taking on number one Porterville. Bringing on now another friend of the show, Kenny Palinelli, the head coach at Madera High. It's Coyotes. They advance after a 35-21 win over Napomo. They're going to be facing number six Kennedy in the D3 semifinals next week at home. KP, how you doing, my friend?
Doing great, Paul. Thank you for having me on.
It was, we were texting each other a little bit late last night. I sent out a text, man, I'd love to have you on the show. About right before I fell asleep, a little before 1 o'clock, you got back to me. Yeah, absolutely, Paul. Let's talk. So on game nights like that, are you just kind of like decompressing a bit, hanging out with your dudes, right? Hanging out with coaches every once in a while, or what's going on after last night's win?
Yeah, decompressing, after the game, all of us coaches kind of go in the office and meet and look over the scores, see who won, see who advanced, and then, afterwards, just decompressing, hanging out, relaxing, and just, you know, it's hard. You get, at least I do anyways, your mind's racing, you're in the game and calling plays, and so it's good to just unwind, and it takes a little bit to do that. So
you guys came away with a home win last night. You were facing a Pomo team. You know, the coast schools, they're always tough for a lot of people to gauge, including me, because they don't come and play a lot of non-league games to your teams in the, you know, in the Valley. So they defeated Independence. Was it a tough team to scout, or what style of play did they even run last night?
So there were spreads, so it wasn't anything different than what we've seen. Obviously they got some good players, and, you know, they were tough. Anytime, you know, in the playoffs, nobody wants to go home. Everyone's fighting for their lives. And so, you know, and then you combine that with, you know, the rust of coming off the bye, and, you know, things aren't as tight as they are normally when you're playing game after game, week after week, you know. And so I thought we had very good spurts in that game last night. It was like we played two incomplete halves, in my opinion. We played really good offensively in the first half, and defensively we made some mistakes. And then in the second half, the defense shut them out, and, you know, offensively we sputtered on some drives and had some miscues. And so I think, you know, just trying to get back into the groove of what we do. And I think, you know, obviously being able to play again and turn around quickly this week is going to be good for us. So
we were tracking the game last night during the Clovis East and Clovis game. 7-7, your game at the end of the first quarter, and then 21-19 at halftime. And then, like you said, you guys played shutout football. You guys scored a couple touchdowns, one in the third and one in the fourth, and they got a safety. Looks like to make it 20-21. But, you know, who performed really well last night for you guys in that win against Napomo?
We had our middle linebacker, Josue Madrigalis. He had 14 tackles, an interception, and a sack last night, so he was all over the field. And like I said, we've talked about him. I've talked about him with you. You know, I think, like I said, I'll continue to say I think he's one of the best linebackers and defensive players in the Valley. He just gets after it every snap. And then one of our sophomore running backs, his name's Jesse Rodriguez. He rushed for 210 yards last night. So big game for him on the ground, and another stellar performance by our offensive line. I think we had 375 yards rushing as a team. So it was a good night for all the backs.
Yeah, absolutely. How did it feel to have a home game in the playoffs? Because I don't think you played a home game. You guys were road warriors last year in those two incredible road wins that were really, really tight. But how did it feel to have a home game in the playoffs?
Man, it's a completely different vibe. It's just good to be at home because you're in your routine and you're not traveling. There's not a bunch of moving parts. You know, we get to stay in our routine of what we do. And so that's very nice. You know, the kids are comfortable with that. And I think just being at home, playing in front of, you know, your friends and family. And it's just a special thing, especially in the playoffs, man, because, you know, like I said, they're going to be tearing our stadium down at the end of this year, and they're going to be doing construction on it. So this is kind of really the last few games in the stadium. So we just want to keep extending the life of this stadium because it's going to look a whole lot different in a couple years when it's done and refinished.
All right, so yeah, tell us more about that. What actually, it's funny, you know, when I do my show here, and you've been on the show plenty of times live here in person at First String Sports, you never know who's going to walk through the doors, right? You see coaches and athletic directors come through, and Marty Bitter came, and he's like waving at me while I'm on air. He's like, "Hey, Paul, what's up?" And I know Marty does a great job there in Madera Unified. So, what are some of the stadium changes that you guys are going to go through? What's it going to look like in a couple years?
Well, they're going to do a completely give the place a facelift. We'll be getting new turf, new stands, new weight room. So all that kind of like what they did at Torres is going to be kind of what we do at Madera High School as well. And so that project's supposed to start in May is the tentative date right now. And, you know, obviously we're hoping it gets done sooner rather than later. But, yeah, I think it's going to end up and turn out to be just a really beautiful facility. I know we have a big stadium right now and with a lot of seating. I think that's going to cut down and make it a little bit more homey. And obviously it's going to be ADA certified now because we have one of the older stadiums in the Valley. And so we had to make sure that was up to par with ADA and all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, we're super excited for that, but obviously focused on doing something special this year in the last year in our stadium.
Oh, absolutely. And you kind of hope with these types of projects that 2 years doesn't turn into three. You want to be able to get on that field as quickly as possible. I'm curious about the bye week. So you guys are the 2 seed in Division III. You guys earned the bye week. I think there are 4 total teams, right? That got byes, 1, 2, 3, 4. Was that a good thing for you guys? Like, that's always a question I had in football. Obviously, you want to get rested and healthy, get some guys at full strength. But did the bye week turn out beneficiary for you? Obviously, you won the game, but did you like the bye week?
I do. I appreciated the bye. You know, it's funny. You know, in my coaching career, I've never been in that scenario. And so, you know, what I've always done in my career is lean on people that I trust and that I feel, you know, handle things the right way. And so, I put in a text to Kyle Biggs and kind of reached out to him and asked him, like, hey, you know, how do you approach the bye week? You know, because I've never been in this situation. And so rather than make it up on my own, I just try to reach out to guys that I know have been there and done that and have had success. And so, you know, I talked with him, and he gave me what they do, and so I kind of took some of what they do with my own ideas, and I think I formulated a good plan. And, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to the kids. Are they going to, you know, are they going to be mature about it? And so we talked a lot about, like, you know, even though it's a bye week, it's not a week off. It's more of a, it's a work week. We're resting our bodies, but we just get extra preparation on who we're going to play. And so that first week when you don't know who you're going to play, right, you know, you prepare for both teams. So one day was Independence, one day was Napomo. And so we just kind of decided to go about it like that, and I think that was beneficial for us. So,
and you guys are set for another home game, which is going to be awesome. You guys are going to be playing Kennedy, the sixth seed. They are a dangerous team. They beat Rigetti on the road 56-32. I know they got a dude at running back. It looks like he's healthy. So what's the early word on the matchup against Kennedy?
Man, it's going to be a physical battle. They're a really, really tough team. They're really well coached. You can tell they do a really good job in the weight room. They got a bunch of kids who really care about football and want to win. And they have championship pedigree, man. They've been there before, and they've won it. And, you know, just 2 years ago, they were the D3 champs. And so, you know, we have a lot of respect for those guys. I think, you know, obviously we feel very confident in our abilities as well. But we know it's going to be – obviously when you get down to the Final Four here, there's no walk in the parks. It's going to be a battle. And, you know, we're looking forward to that.
They still run that same type of offense, just a power-type running game? Is it a double-wing type of deal?
Yeah, they're a traditional wing T team. They're running back, like you said, number 10, Jace. He's a monster, man. And so – you know, you want to stop him, obviously.
All right. So I just had a conversation with Coach Jenkins. He's taking on Porterville at the top of the bracket. You guys are playing Kennedy. Hey, I can root for teams right now. How about a Kerman and Madera matchup for the championship, man? I'm all for that. That would be a lot of fun. I want to ask you, Coach, I know you're a football junkie. You know, you mentioned after games you go back and you check out scores and you're seeing all the wonderful matchups. But were there any scores that surprised you last night? You know, we called that Clovis East and Clovis game, and you know, Clovis East looks like a monster. They are a monster this year. They're going to be really tough to beat. Were there any other scores that are like, huh, man, those guys are rolling right now?
I mean, I wouldn't say I was surprised, but, you know, I was happy for Coach Biggs that getting that big win over Clovis North. And, you know, I really thought, obviously, my buddy Ferris over there at Garza, I was very interested in that Kerman Garza game just because I know they play each other so well, and Damon and him know each other so well. And so I don't think I was surprised. And, you know, I thought that game could go either way. I'm not surprised it came down to a one-point game. And so, you know, I'm feeling for my boy Pancotti at McLean.
Yeah.
You know, I was always rooting for him. And so I know that was a really tough game. And, so, yeah, no, those were kind of the things that, you know, you look at the people you're closest to, and you want, you know, you want to root for those guys and hope for the best for them, so.
Yeah, and the coaching fraternity is tight, and that's one of the great things that I love about our central section is you guys can root for each other, and you guys can call each other and text each other and ask for advice. And obviously competition runs very thick throughout the coaching staffs, and which is right. That's why you play the game, right, for competition. But there's always deeper meanings behind games and you know, the relationships there. And you're one of the good guys, Coach, and I always appreciate you taking the time either through text or coming on the show and sharing about your program, all the good stuff that's going on with you guys. So appreciate you, KP, man, and good luck. Good luck next week against Kennedy. That's going to be a really good football game. Thank you.
I appreciate you, Paul. Thank you.
All right, that was Coach Kenny Paolinelli. Faded off at the end a little bit. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be talking with Alec Nolan, ABC 30. Does a fantastic job with their Friday Night Lights broadcast. I never miss an episode. If I'm going to be running a little late, I usually text my wife, say, hey, can you record Friday Night Lights? He does a fantastic job. So we'll be chatting about the high school games he was able to go to last night, a little bit about Fresno State as well. So when we come back, we're going to listen to Alec. Yep, thanks you guys for listening. This is 1430 ESPN. All right, love talking to Coach Paolinelli and Coach Jenkins before that. Their teams are in the semifinals of the D3 bracket. And yeah, I said it, right? I'm kind of rooting for those two teams to meet in the finals. That would be that would probably be the game that we would have on 1430 ESPN next week. We're going to be doing the finals, the D1 AA, as they call it this year, brand new system for Division I, broken up in eight teams each. So we're going to be doing Clovis East and Central next week. But we're going to hopefully have some options the following week, the day after Thanksgiving, and bring you guys a game there. So a lot of eyes on games next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, time to bring in Alec Nolan. Does a fantastic job at ABC 30. Friday Night Lights was at a couple games, I believe, last night. So, Alec, we could call you friend of the show because you've been on earlier this year. So thanks for coming back again and talking about some good local sports. Appreciate you.
Of course. Appreciate you having me on. And, yes, went to the two D1 AA semifinal games last night. And it's always kind of a battle, like, okay, which one do I go to first? You know, how can I time this out? And I'm sitting there and I'm like, Clovis East likes to score early and often, and they punch you in the mouth right away. So I said, let's hit La Monica first. Good thing we did. It's 40-7 by half. And then we went to Clovis North and Central over at Veterans Memorial. A little bit of a closer game until Central eventually pulled away in the second half. But, yeah, what a great matchup I think that we have in D1 AA. And truly, I think it is the two best teams.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I want to break that game down in just a second. But smart man, you figured this thing out going to watch Clovis East because they get those fireworks started really early. You know, we broadcasted last night, and I think this is the fifth time I've seen Clovis East play this year. Gosh, I mean, they are just a machine. I mean, I know they've had some bad quarters and some bad halves, but they haven't had a bad football game all season. Those guys are just really, really, really dialed in, aren't they?
They're awesome, and they're so balanced because everyone wants to talk about, wow, the pass game and the air raid and Miller and Blake Matthew and Harold Duvall. They run the ball. I mean, and they run it right down your throat. That opening drive last night against Clovis High, I think they gave it to Horton five straight times.
They did.
You know,
yep.
And that's what they can do. It's however you want it, we can give it to you. So you want to play this way, we can play that way. If you look at their schedule, the only game where they haven't scored 34 points was August 23rd, their first game of the year against the team from Salt Lake City. Other than that, they're dropping 34-plus on your head. And so any way you want to dial it up, they can score. They can score quickly. They can extend a drive. They can maintain that balance. And then the defense has stepped up when it's had to. And to your point, they've had some bad quarters here and there. But nobody has figured out how to stop these guys. And so if you're playing them, you got to put up 35 points. And that's hard to do.
They're averaging 45 points a game. Again, 40-7. I mean, they almost reached their game total and a half in the semifinal playoff game. That's very impressive. And yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. We mentioned that last night on the broadcast, right? So the stats aren't entered for last night's game. You know, Miller had the four passing touchdowns and the one rushing. So coming into the game, you know, you think they'd be throwing the football and have these incredible gaudy stats, but they're just very efficient. So passing wise, you know, Ty Miller had 2,400 yards. I mean, in 11 games, that's pretty darn good, right? I mean, it's not blowing your mind, right? But they also had 2,290 yards rushing on the ground. So that's about as even as it gets. So Alec, you're right. You hit it on the head. It's almost pick your poison. You know, if you're going to, you're going to play a two deep safety on us, we're going to gash you in the middle with our running game. If you're going to creep up a little bit, we're going to throw over the top. It's just a thing of beauty to watch from, at least from a fan's perspective.
Well, and Ty Miller, I think, has really proven that, yes, Deegan Rose gets a lot of the love, and he should. He's extremely talented, Oregon State commit, but Ty has been the best quarterback this year. And it's because of his command of the offense. He wastes no time, whether it's the RPO, throwing it, whether he wants to run it himself. He has complete control of the offense. He's so mature. The fact that he's been a starter all these 4 years, that's been so crucial, I think, to their success this year because the moment is not too big for him. And he's not flustered, and he just feels like, hey, we have a job to do, and we're going to score. It's not a matter of if, but when we're going to score. and I'll do it any way we can, whether it's by throwing, passing, running. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable to watch. And I always felt like with North last year, they were dominant, but they felt one-dimensional. This team, certainly not.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And Ty, you know, he's never missed a football game. He got the you-know-what kicked out of him his freshman year, right? We readily admit that. I mean, he was a freshman. He was a 14-year-old kid playing against, you know, 17, 18, maybe even 19-year-old young men. And so he took his lumps, and it's showing. And it was a funny moment, Alex. So Phil Bonatti does a fantastic job doing play-by-play. There was one play, I think it was in the second half, so you probably didn't see it, where Ty took off, and, you know, he made the right read, and he was running up the middle. And you could just kind of see, like, he almost wanted to make one more move and try to gain some more yards. And he started to slide, and as I'm saying that, I'm like, get down, get down. And he's like, Paul, you sound like a concerned parent. And I go, I kind of feel like I am, because I've watched this kid for 4 years. I've watched him grow up before my very eyes. So anyway, yeah, he is definitely a special player. And then you headed over to Veterans Memorial, and you watched a little bit of the Central and Clovis North game?
Yes, so I got to say, the atmosphere at Veterans Memorial is not that great.
No, it's not.
I don't know if
no.
it's because of the track being so big, and I understand, you know, they do the state track meet there, but the atmosphere was a complete 180 from La Monica. But, you know, La Monica, I think, is just better overall for football because you got no track there. But, yes, anyway, we head there. It was 13-10 at half. Central was on top. North really couldn't get anything going, and, I mean, the Central defense is really the thing to talk about. I mean, they've only allowed, was it 14 points last week, 10 points this week. Jelani Dipple has, you know, only a sophomore, but just seems to get better and better each week, more relaxed, more comfortable with the offense. Brandon Smith, the running back, he just took over at the start of that second half. They drove it right down the field, and all of a sudden it was 20-10. Clovis North has to go for it on fourth down. Doesn't have to, but they decide to. Defense breaks it up, and then here comes Brandon Smith and Dipple once more, and Dipple rushes it in for a touchdown, and 27-10, and that was all she wrote. They just completely kind of did whatever they wanted from the run perspective, and the defense has really stepped up for them. And I don't know if Kyle Biggs gets enough credit. Maybe he does. But from what we had looked at, this is their seventh finals appearance in eight years. I mean, they're unbelievable in terms of consistency. They're not always the best team during the middle of the regular season, but Biggs finds a way to get these guys playing their best football late. And for him, it's always kind of, we're getting there. We're doing the right thing. And it's the same thing the Patriots did for years, same thing the Chiefs are doing now. It's, we get ready for postseason football, we figure out our mistakes, and then we lock in the defense at the end and just make timely plays. That's exactly what they did last night.
Yeah, I think the only game would have been Liberty and San Joaquin Memorial a few years ago when Liberty beat the Panthers. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I've been to practices at Central High. I've had multiple conversations with Coach Biggs. He's not a player's coach necessarily, because he demands a lot, right? I don't see a lot of kids.
Yeah.
You know, gravitating towards him necessarily. I mean, he just gets the most out of his players. And there is a lot to be said for that, especially in this day and age where you got transfers. And sometimes you never know who's going to be on campus, you know, on the first day of football practice. It's not necessarily a plug and play. He just gets the best out of his players.
No, he does. And it's interesting, too, because, I mean, it's a program. I mean, they build these kids up from when they're little. And when they have these football camps, you know, the Jalen Johnson returns from the Bears, the Xavier Worthies. I mean, he uses his resume and his pedigree to bring kids back in and say, look what we can do for you. But you're right. I don't view him as a player's coach. I mean, he doesn't BS.
Yes.
He's on the sideline at every given point during the game. I don't care if they're up 30 or 40. He's always locked in, and you better play until the whistle. And I think until they have a trophy at the end of the season, he won't be satisfied. And as you said, he demands. There's a clear demand here. Like, hey, we're Central football. We demand the best. We believe we can be not only a Valley Championship contender, but, you know, among the best in the state. And that's kind of what he's demanded there. And they utilize young kids, too. They're not utilizing a transfer portal. They're not you know, having a senior-laden class. I mean, Dipple's a sophomore. Brandon Smith is a junior. These guys are all going to come back next year and probably be the number one team with so many guys from East leaving. And all of this can be tied back to Tim Simons, which I think is interesting because the entire Clovis East staff was at Clovis North under Simons. And then Biggs, of course, played for Simons. So everything kind of ties back to the Tim Simons effect, if you will, with the coaching tree.
7 degrees of separation from Coach Simons. His coaching and circle definitely runs deep. He's you know, his name is at LaMonica Stadium for Tim Simons Field for a reason. He's a legend.
Yes,
so, Alec, I want to ask.
Play there.
Yes, exactly. So you know, just kind of looking at the Max Preps, the matchups. You know, obviously semifinals for divisions 2 through 6. You know, you got Bakersfield Frontier. That's a 1-3. In the final in the one single A, then in Division Two you got a 1-5 Bakersfield Christian, Sunnyside, Central Valley Christian, and Golden West. That is a 2 and a 3. You got 1 and 5 Porterville and Kerman in D3, and so on and so forth. It's just, you know, for all the crap that we give the CIF for the playoff system, we know there's no perfect playoff system. It looks like there are some really good semifinal football games coming up next week.
Oh, 100%. And I get it. Everyone gets all flustered. Well, that's stupid. And how could you do this? It's like, you got to cut the line somewhere. Not everybody can get a trophy and not everybody deserves to just have an easier path. I get it. You know, Tulare Union has a great year and they're thrown with the big dogs and they lose. Okay. Well, what do you want to do? You know what I mean? Like it has to be cut off somewhere. The CIF does what it can. To think that these guys sit around and don't do anything and just come up with a bracket out of thin air is ridiculous. I mean, they put a lot of hard work and effort into this. And no, it's not going to be perfect. But all you want at the end are the two best teams playing each other. We certainly got that in D1AA, in my opinion. And I think we'll get it across the board with many of the other divisions. You know, Kalinga's still in this thing undefeated. Sunnyside playing really well right now. Bakersfield Christian, a great program. Probably the most surprising score last night was Sunnyside, you know, dismantling Tulare Western. I think it was 43-8.
It was.
So, yeah, you're getting good teams. Porterville, awesome program. Kerman back in this thing. I mean, this is the matchups we wanted. I don't think anybody is getting a really unfair handshake here, and you just want to see good football. These are kids, man, you know, and you want to see them play late into November and go for a title, and it can't be perfect for everybody, but I think we should all be grateful and or thankful that we've got great matchups across the divisions. And I like that they split up D1 this year.
Yeah, we got an all Bakersfield final in that other bracket, Bakersfield and Frontier. I mean, look at Shafter and Emmanuel and D4. I guess you could call them bracket busters, right, to steal a term from March Madness. You got Roosevelt. What about those Rough Riders, 23-16 over Exeter?
It?
And then they defeat South on the road. And now they could continue to make some waves. And they're going to travel to Kalinga and try to break their perfect record and play for a division championship game. So that is really, really cool. I want to move on to Fresno State a little bit, Alec, but before that, what are kind of some of your final thoughts about the next 2 weeks in high school football?
Well, I think Clovis East has a really great chance to not only, you know, do something they haven't done in what feels like 20 years, but maybe they make a state run. I felt last year North could have finally maybe pushed down a wall here and gone into a De La Salle and shown what the central section can do. But at the end, they were just too one-dimensional and De La Salle roughed them up. I think this East team has the caliber of weapons to compete in a game like that because you've got a Ty Miller. So maybe that's the X factor, and maybe that's the thing that can push them over the line against a bigger school like a De La Salle, if you will. And then lastly, I think as you just mentioned at the end there, Roosevelt. I mean, back from the dead, Ricky McCoy comes in there, a former Fresno State Bulldog and Washington Husky, coaching at his alma mater. I think they're the 15 seed. Is that correct?
That is correct.
You know, coming in here. And their defensive coordinator, Rudy Lopez, I graduated with him at North. His defensive coach was Brandon Nagel, who, of course, is the Clovis East coach. So, once again, the degrees of separation there. So, yeah, I think Roosevelt certainly deserves a lot of love.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm trying as quickly as possible. Got another 3 minutes or so to go to Cal High Sports because they do a fantastic job of predicting where, you know, if you win the Central Section title here, where you might play. There's Division 1A. Yeah, there it is. So Division 1A, Cal High Sports right now would predict Clovis East would play St. Ignatius of San Francisco in their bowl game, or in the state playoffs. So, yeah, so they might go north. That would be a really good thing because we know how tough the South can be. But, yeah, I think Clovis East has a really good shot to make some waves. Obviously, they gotta the job's not done. They got to beat Central next week. But I think that they're kind of primed and ready to make a run in the state playoffs. All right, Alex, so last week, disappointing loss, Fresno State to Air Force. Pretty horrible game to watch. It just had bad vibes, bad juju from the beginning. Fan base, you know, pretty low right now. Like, what do you think is the cure is for these remaining few games in the regular season?
Well, being bowl eligible is so big, right? I mean, that floods money into the program, and that's certainly something you want to end on a high note. You can have a bad regular season, maybe you don't make the conference championship, but if you win the last game of the year in a bowl game on the road, you know, in front of your fans, that always seems to kind of cure a lot of things that were maybe, you know, hobbling you throughout the season. Honestly, at the end of the day, and everyone asks me these questions, it's about money. They don't have money. You know, they have so much deferred maintenance and so many things on campus. The stadium is old. It needs to be renovated. They need NIL money. They can't pay their coaches what other conferences pay. They're about to go into Pac-12. Facilities, their infrastructure, everything is not up to par with the rest of everybody else. And so the notion that you can bring in a coach here and everything changes, I think Cam Worrell said it best, is these guys are overachieving with what they have because of the resources. So the cure in my eyes, you need more money. I mean, that's really what this comes down to in the simplest of terms. Of course, you could broaden that to so many other things, but really this is about infrastructure and having the financial foundation to do the things you need to do if you want to be serious.
That's a great answer. We only got another minute, Alec. Man, I need about another hour to talk about all this stuff. Basketball, though, man. Coach Wahlberg, there's definitely a buzz. What can you say about how fun this season might look for the Bulldog basketball program?
Well, I think that's the thing, right? You want it to generate a sense of hype, and you want it to fill the stands. And Vance Wahlberg has not only been great with, you know, coming in here and instilling a new culture, he's been a statesman, you know, for the university, going around and shaking hands and, you know, working long hours outside of basketball, doing all these camps and just trying to get people excited about Bulldog basketball again. And so regardless, I think of maybe what the score is at the end of a game, if you're paying money to go see these guys, you want to get your money's worth. And I think even if they just have a competitive season and a very good Mountain West Conference, give the people something exciting to watch. And I think things will start to change. And I think he's certainly on his way to doing that.
Well, I know I'm excited about it. And you're right. Nobody's going to outwork Coach Wahlberg. He actually sent me a text, and that's exactly what he told me. There might have been an expletive or two in that text as well that I can't share on air. But the buzz is there for sure. All right. Thanks, Alex. Alec, I think I wish we could talk some more, but really appreciate you coming on, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Of course. Awesome. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right. Thanks to First String Sports, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, Jeremiah Cunningham for producing the show. He's mad at me. I'm going over. Austin Kemp, Damon Jenkins, Kenny Palinelli, and, of course, Alec Nolan. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.